Oh, it's just been recorded.
All right. That was Jordan bringing bearing gifts, so he'll be forgiven. Okay, let's get started. Brought your notebook. Yay. Hopefully we can get this done in one set. I titled this The Significance of Shavuot Pentecost 2020. So that would be like last week. Okay. I guess somewhere in there. I don't know how I got this. It's really all about the glory. Yeah. And so if I look down, it means I read my notes because I didn't want to try to get this stuff off from out of my head and off my bed and stuff. But I heard a quote from Chuck Pierce. He said that the glory shift has begun. I think in my prepping for this book I'm trying to write, I haven't written much, but I guess this pondering it has kind of put me in a place where it's not quite an Issachar anointing, but there's something like I've started a growing understanding of timing, and timing is kind of key. I think more that will come out in the book, but I guess as I've been getting a perspective on time, as my paradigm, my belief system has been open, expanding to start to see things from God's time perspective, things on earth have been making a different sense, to the place where it felt like and seemed like and is like that this Pentecost that we just experienced here in the month of Sivan was different than all others, to the place where, you know, I've done Pentecost lots of places on the planet, but there was unique, and I'll use the word Kairos time. So it's when God invades our linear time, right? So I believe looking at, as we go through this, we're going to look at three significant Pentecost. We'll start with the first one, and obviously the one in Acts chapter 2, and I believe the third one happened last week. Okay. Obviously, y'all can choose to disagree, so we're all free to do that, yeah. But let's see where we go with this. So, because I think we all need to grow an understanding of times and the seasons and your role in the times of God, okay? And I believe he's orchestrated things. He uses time for not only his benefit, but he uses time for our benefit. And we need to learn that also. So you have an understanding at the point of time as a feast. Let me give you a little scripture here. Exodus, so good time to write down notes because y'all can come back and check me up here. Exodus chapter 23, 14 through 17. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me this year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. So we're not talking about that one. That's Passover. In the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in that, what did I use King James for? For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none of thou shall appear from empty. Right. The Feast of Harvest is the second feast that we're supposed to recognize. And that Feast of Harvest, that is Pentecost, that is Shavuot, okay? the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast, and the next one, the feast of gathering, which is the end of the year, when thou dost gather in thy labors. Remind me to redo this non King James, but three times a year, thy males may appear before the Lord. Okay. Not only is three my favorite number, but there's something about threes here too. So we're going to hit that too. For those Hebrew people, the number three is tied to the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Gemal. Okay. So it's all coming together. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's Passover. The Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost. And the Feast of Tabernacles, so that's the fall feast. They all shall appear before the Lord. They shall not appear before the Lord empty. So all of the Lord's appointed days, you should be ready for. You should be prepared for. You should be expectant, okay? Now, even the first one, when they were in Egypt as slaves, and Moses came and brought them out, he told them, okay, I'm taking you out so we can go worship God. So they had some expectation of what they were going into. Do they go into a deep rev on that? I'm not sure, because they really didn't know the King of Glory of God. But our King of Glory uses time. And again, like I said earlier, we need to learn to make time our servant and understand it as a tool. Okay. So back in the day, way back before time, before we entered into time, we know the scriptures about, you know, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was crucified for us. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So Abba has set us in time. Okay, we're in time, right? I think we need to get out of time and definitely get a right perspective on time, at least his time. And again, I believe everything he does, well, definitely, I believe I know this. Where's that light coming from? The beam of light is on me. It's the glory. Okay. It's all about the glory. Okay. That scripture that many of us, especially those of us with a Baptist background, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, right? The Passion Translation says, Romans 3:23, for we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Okay, hear that. You're in need of the glory of God. You're just like a goldfish that's taken out of you win it in the fairgrounds, whatever. It has a need for its environment. You have a need for your environment, and your environment is the glory of God. Our Father is like, there's Wally and whole humanity, like fish out of water. They need their environment, okay? So before we even stepped out of our environment, okay, the Father has put a plan in place to get us back to that environment of glory, okay? Glory is our original life environment. You were designed to function in the glory, through the glory, of the glory, and produce glory, okay? That's who you really, really are. You are a glory being. You're a light being, but you are designed to be in the glory. Ooh, I can't go there. There it goes. Sorry for Facebook people. It's kind of funny, the lights like that. It's never been like that before. Let me say it again. Romans 3:23. Now, I know I've been beat up for decades on that because I use only part of it. For all have sinned, and they kind of stop there. But realize we all have a need of glory, not just the Pentecost people, the charismatic people. Every person on the planet before time began has a need of the glory, just like you need breath, right? Okay. And how do you get, you know, so breath, rock, we're not going to go there. But remember the glory. So that which I'm going to share is about what the Father put in motion to get us back to where we're supposed to be, okay? And just not the Christians, but all mankind. We know in Joel and in Acts, it says he poured out his spirit on all flesh, right? I used to think it was just for the good flesh, or John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. He did not just give his son for the good people or the soon to be good people, whatever. It was for the whole world. God loves, you know, in big, he's not a respecter of persons, no matter how bad you are. He's got a plan, okay? And he's going to execute his plan, and he's doing that. You're going to see his plan unfold through, I believe, these three major Pentecosts, right? Culminating the one we just got to partake in. Where else we got here? 1 Corinthians 2:7. Write this down. You're writing down. Good. Let me read it, hopefully slower. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before, now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. What's it say again? His secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. Okay. Back home, to your environment, to the place where you can thrive and breathe and be truly free. Okay. He has a plan, and that's where we can be confident in his plan. Now, sometimes we don't know his plan, so we have to be confident in him, right? And the fact that, and read that again in 1 Corinthians 2:7, instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, okay? Hopefully, we're speaking about that. Sometimes we're not. We're speaking about all kinds of stuff and not the wisdom of God. Hidden before now in a mystery. So we need to start liking mysteries, and these things are hidden for us, not against us, right? They're put there for us to seek. You seek and you will find, okay? It is his secret plan, destined before the ages, to bring us into glory. Okay. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hopefully, someone should be counting how many times I say glory, because it's about the glory, right? You get our eyes on the glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We can all draw close to him. Okay, all. With the veil removed from our faces. God does that. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image. We are being. Okay. A couple of years ago, Lord was, I have a podcast out there called The Chariots Are Coming. And the Lord, I want to say he encouraged me. He's kind of dared me, made me, he didn't bully me. He's very strong on this point. He said something to the effect of, you're taking too long. And I was like, we're taking too long. Yep. I need you to be a people who, all things are possible people. Because for all those who believe, all things are possible for those who believe. And he was like saying, I need some believers. And he was saying, you, not just you, me, the individual, but you, the you, us. And I was like, and so I did my best to stand up for mankind. And I said, well, we're doing a pretty good job. You know, we've come a long way, and we're progressing. We're not being stagnant, you know. I was really thinking of other people because I think I was kind of extra slow. But as a group, I thought we were, you know, making some progress. And he says, you're not going fast enough. And I was like, well, we're all you got. I mean, so, you know, give us some more gifts or something, or give us a break or whatever. I'd actually say those words, but that was in my heart. And he goes, you're taking too long, so I'm gonna help you out. And I thought, well, no, Lord, you can't make us get better because we have a will. Right. Now, there were years before that I wanted him to take my will, to be a puppet, because I was making wrong decisions. But anyway, he doesn't do that. And what he said was, you're taking too long, so I'm going to deal with your unbelief. And I was like, well, I have a right to be an unbeliever. Not that I want to be, but I couldn't see it. And I was like, well, how are you going to do that? I don't think you can't. And he says, did I not bring salvation by my strong right hand? Yep, you did the salvation thing. You brought Jesus. We didn't earn it, deserve it. And you broke into time. Okay, but unbelief, you can deal with that. And he says, yeah, I'm going to separate my people from unbelief. I was like, how are you going to do that? And he says, just like when I separated Elijah from Elisha, I brought a chariot and I separated them. And I was like, okay, well, you're awesome. And he says, okay, now put that on the podcast. And I was like, whoa, it's one thing for you to say to me, my secret place. It's another thing for me to stand up on behalf of you and say something that's beyond my imagination. And so that's when, you know, that's when we live by faith or you're a chicken. Okay. So if you believe what God is saying, you should do it. And so it took me a while and I did it. But this is who our God, he loves us so much. He puts things in place for our benefit. Just as he established the Pentecost, the first one and all of them for our benefit. And we need to, just like Jesus said, it's for your benefit that I leave earth and the Holy Spirit comes. We need to be walking in our benefits, okay? And not just spectating, okay? As a, I believe that, you know, you're looking at, well, Wally, the Feast of Pentecost has been going on for thousands of years. And I believe that there's some that we've been memorializing and honoring and remembering, okay? But there's three that God is put in time to catapult mankind from one level of glory to the next level of glory to the next level of glory. And for those that, you know, saw that step up process, that's the same process that to go through the Panama Canal, you go from a low level to a higher level to the next level. So it seems like for God to, so when man fell or decided to drop out of their high place, he couldn't just, you know, yank man and throw them back into the garden. He had to take it through a step-by-step process. I think, I don't know this, but if he had just kind of thrown us in, we would just exploded. So, but God knows us, right? He knows how to take us, you know, we're clay. So, you know, so he has a plan. His plan's already worked. So I believe with these three major Pentecosts, it's kind of like a threefold cord. It's not easily broken. If he'd done a, if he had just taken the Jews, and he did, out of Egypt, and brought them to himself, then only a few Gentiles would have made it. But God loves the whole world. Okay, so he did round one in Exodus. Okay. And he did big step two in Jerusalem. And I believe he did step three globally, just like this year. And only this year was Passover, a global phenomenon that everyone got to, Jew, Gentile, and whatever, got to, had the opportunity to participate in Passover, which I believe that global Passover put in position, you know, because 50 days later was a Pesach or Shavuot, not Pesach, Pentecost, Shavuot, like none other, right? Okay, getting a little ahead of myself. So the number three is tied to the third letter of Gimel. Gimel means to lift up, okay? Three, Gimel, to lift up. Okay, he's taking us, and see, we can't do this ourselves, right? He is so good. He's taking us. Okay, I know mankind. I can bring up one level. First level, he says, okay, I've got to come down and give you my word, right? So he gave up the law, and he, right, all humanity, up their frequency. We use those words, okay? I believe there's. And listen to this word. I when I first saw this word, I couldn't believe it was a real word. But the word is glorification, okay? It's in the Bible and in your dictionary. I believe he used these three great Pentecosts to glorification. The scripture for glorification is in the New Testament. Where is it? I think I got it in my notes later on. Let me find it to you and read it now for then. The Corinthian scripture. Where are you? I know I have it in here someplace. pause with me. You should be jotting down notes. So we're going to hit three Pentecosts. Ah, there it is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But rather, we're setting forth as a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding. This is Amplified. And now revealed to us by God. Okay, God's a revealer. Which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. Glorification means to lift us into the glory of his presence. Okay. He knows that we need the glory, and he is the king of what? Glory, right? And so when we mankind made a false decision, a wrong decision, and we stepped out like fish out of water, the Father had a plan in place, and that plan is called glorification, okay? And so let's look at the first great Pentecost. This is the one in Exodus. So I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but you guys can do this too on your own. Exodus 5:1. It might have been the first time, you know, Moses went in there with the "Let my people go, so we can go have a feast in the wilderness." And then Pharaoh said no, you know, several times. Listen to Exodus 19. This is God speaking to Moses, and Moses telling the people, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Okay. Each of these Pentecosts are bringing us to a higher level into his presence. Okay. Round one was he took them out of just surrounded by false gods, brought them to himself. "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant," this is the old covenant, obviously, "then you shall be my peculiar possession and a treasure among and above all people." So some of you realize, hey, peculiar treasure, that's a New Testament thing too. A peculiar people, kings and priests. He said it then because that was the beginning of his plan, okay? He's always seen mankind as his kings and priests because we are fashioned, designed to be glory carriers. We're supposed to be breathing glory, okay? Not this air or this mixture of carbon and oxygen stuff. We're supposed to be just receiving and releasing glory. Recycling. Cool. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests." What? It's old covenant and new. "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, consecrated and set apart to the worship of God." Worship is a big word for relationship, right? Relating, interacting, engaging with the king. "And these are the words you shall speak to the Israelites." So this is God speaking to Moses because Moses had a relationship, you know, so started there and that was the mouthpiece. But the invitation was for all of them to come up, right? To receive the invitation to come to this next level of glory, right? But God knew them and they didn't do so good. Exodus 32:15. "On this day, on the month of Sivan," way back in that time frame, and I was trying to find out what year in history this actually happened. But the cool thing is the same month. The month that they met in the desert 50 days after they left Egypt during the Passover is when Moses came down with the tablets. So Pentecost is also about the receiving of the law or the word, or this is the beginning of, okay, we're going to start living the right way. So here's step one. Here's my word, right? And they were so not used to interacting with the living God, they rebelled and created a false god, a little calf, and, you know, that was an issue. So round one, God did his part, right? And that set in motion the Pentecost and the fact of, okay, y'all, you're going to every year make this a priority, okay? He's setting them up for victory. They didn't know it. They just thought, yeah, you just want us to remember back when you came down on fire, came down the mountain fire, and shook everything. And God's going, oh, there's more to it than this. I'm going to try to bring you home to glory. So we're going to skip to the second Great Pentecost. That's the one that most of us are really familiar with, the one that happened in Jerusalem when Jesus told the disciples to go wait in the upper room, and then Acts chapter 2, classic. On the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind. And so if you read the account in Exodus, there's some of the same characters at play, right? The wind, the fire and stuff. And what I'm coming to understand that round one, God was reintroducing himself to his people, right? But he was kind of holding back a little bit, you know, because they were already scared as he was. So round two, the book of Acts, they were like, he gave a little bit more. So the wind was louder. In the Exodus thing, there was a blowing of a trumpet that was like, where's that trumpet coming from? And why are we hearing it? Why are several million people hearing this trumpet out of heaven? I'd have been scared spitless, you know. Before this call, my emergency radio thingy went off, and I'm like, what is that new sound in my house? Because I just turned it on today, and it started doing its thing. And I was like, what the hey? And Johnny's like, what is that noise? I don't know. So I'm searching my house for a sound that was not that loud, but there was a flashing light and a strange noise. Could you imagine you go out to the wilderness after several days, you've been in captivity and doing all kinds of stuff, and all of a sudden, the one who's supposed to love you most starts coming down the mountain, and it's smoking and shaking and fiery, and there's loud sounds, and there's lightnings and thunderings. Every king travels with an entourage. The King of Glory is a king. So when he was coming down, he's bringing the boys. Lightnings are living beings. Thunderings are alive too, okay? The shaking and the sounds, they're all alive. He was like, hey, this is what my kingdom's like. Here's what the life is around me. And they were like going, we want to go back to where we were making bricks. No, you don't. You're not designed to make bricks. You're not designed to labor on your own strength. You're designed to flow in the glory. Let me show you. So they went all natural mind instead of supernatural mind. Even though the leaders went up the mountain and, you know, walked in the sapphire and ate with God and stuff, but I was like, we're not ready yet. God knew that. But he was setting things in motion. So round two, the second great Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we had tongues of fire come down. It wasn't until last year, again, and when you youth out there, set yourself to, you know, set your mind on things above, then you start getting perspective or the wisdom or wisdom insight from the Father. Okay. And so last year, as you guys know, I finished book six on speaking in tongues. And which some of you don't know, obviously one of the key events in speaking tongues is also Pentecost. So I had this, you know, the Lord's telling me stuff, and I was like, not really believing it until I go down and I hear the Passion Translation on this scripture. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2 is still there. Verse 2, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. That's loud, that roar of the wind. Verse 3, then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. So I didn't know that. Now, the Lord had told me that this congregation I was going to visit was going to have the privilege, if they chose to steward this creation, that this pillar of fire would watch over their congregation. I was kind of going like, I don't know. I didn't have a scripture for it, and I was kind of shaking on it. And then the man of God there spoke this scripture, and I was like, I got a scripture, yay! Then I got to deliver the word the next day. But there was fire in the first great one. There was fire, a pillar of fire, in the second great piece. we need to understand that in the first great Pentecost, he released his word and his first round of his presence. In the second one, he released fire, a clearer revelation of fire, to the point where it was said there were tongues of fire over the heads. But also we know that he also, his ministers are winds and fire. So I also believe that in the first round, there was the angelic, okay? They didn't recognize him. But I would say in the first round, that was, you know, team one of heavenly hosts and all different stuff. In round two, it was more personalized because, remember, round one, they did not go up, okay? They weren't willing. In round two, they were like, they responded to Jesus' word and waited and were highly expectant. So it's a different encounter. We know this as the birth of the church, right? So round one in the desert, awesome. God was great. Round two in Jerusalem, also on a mountain. That mountain in Jerusalem is Mount Moriah. Okay, God likes mountains. Okay, you have a mountain. It's a mountain. Mountains are a big deal. So know your mountain. Different teaching. But in every this is true in your personal life. Every time you engage the Father, he will reveal more of himself. Okay. In the Pentecost that happened in Acts, in the upper room, where the tongues of fire came down, he revealed himself as the one that was birthing a new thing. The new creatures in Christ Jesus were birthed. The church was birthed. Birthed, B-I-R-T-H, there. Not in the first one, but the second one, the people were now engaging in God, and out of relationship, there's fruit. Let me read Acts 2:17 through 19, again in the Passion Translation. This is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody. Not somebody, everybody. Come on. I mean, okay. In the first outpouring, when he came down, it was only those that came out of Egypt. Okay. This isn't everybody, which was everyone who was in the room, everyone that was in Jerusalem. Again, since they were most believers or Jewish people, and then some Gentiles were, okay, we're supposed to honor this day. We're supposed to, all the men, all the leaders, the body that he's called out are supposed to meet for this event called Shavuot. So they were there. So they actually came to where God was going to show up. Unlike last time, they were supposed to go up the mountain. They were like, no, Moses, you go. This time, a larger gathering responded to the word. Okay? Remember that. Verse 18, the Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will reveal startling signs and wonders in the sky above and mighty miracles on earth below. Blood and fire and pillars of clouds will appear. Okay, that was round two. The people were a little bit more open to God being God. Okay, round one. They were like, wow, he's bigger, stronger, faster, more awesome than all those Egyptian gods. But that's scary, okay? Because they didn't know him, right? Round two, they had seen Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So they were more prepped, okay? And they were more prepped because the Holy Spirit, after the same Spirit was raised Jesus from the dead, dwelled in them. So now they had a closer connection, right? They had the law, the word. Jesus tweaked it for them. And now they had the Spirit abiding in them. So now they had the law and the Spirit, okay? And so different group of people, different ground set apart. But again, this is what round one Pentecost upgrade. Round two Pentecost upgrade, and where are we going from there? And that's what we're going to talk about with this third great Pentecost. The plan. Acts 2:23. So when you read that, it's a lot of reference to Jesus, but I think we kind of got a little nearsighted here. The last part of Acts chapter 2, verse 23 says, yet it was all a part of his predetermined plan. Okay. So not only was Jesus a part of the predetermined plan, but all the Pentecosts were a part of the predetermined plan. Because what is God's plan? To get you back to glory. Okay. And he's stepping us up to that place. Right. All right. So why do I believe that it was just Pentecost. We always celebrate Pentecost. You know, some of us get the weaves, you know, get the weaves, the sheaves and wave them. And some of us, you know, go play Jewish for a little bit. We're just supposed to honor and make memorial. No, we're supposed to always engage with what the Father's doing. What's the word say? He has eye to see and ear to hear. So we got to be waking up, right? And so what? So okay, so you know, and we're all growing. We're all getting, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm hearing his thought, and I'm responding. I'm just not a hear the word. I'm a doer too. Okay, I'm growing up. We're getting mature. We're becoming sons. Yeah. More revelations are revealed, and we're responding to the revelation. Excellent. Now, what was different about this one? Well, for the first time ever, you had a whole planet that was supposed to stay inside and to deal with a plague. Okay. Very similar to what happened in Pentecost 1. Everyone was called to stay, and all those who had an ear to hear were called to stay. Now, what if the Jews stayed inside? I mean, what if the Egyptians, who were false god lovers, did what the Jews did? Well, then they would have been saved like the Jews did. And some did. There were some people that were non-Jewish who heard their truth and responded. Okay. So there was a remnant. Okay. In Acts chapter 2, there was some, you know, who believed Jesus, and there was a greater remnant. Okay. That which happened this past week, in response to the wake-up call that everyone on the planet is dealing with an adversary. Now, we've always been dealing with an adversary. We were united against a common foe. Similar to the 120 were united, expecting the glory, or expecting what Jesus was going to do. I believe there were more than 120 disciples, but 120 were there in unity. What was different about this great peace was the 50 days earlier than Passover was Pesach or was Passover, known as Pesach, 50 days before Pentecost or Shavuot. So we all had a chance to pause and look to our deliverer, okay? And we all knew, based on a little bit of CNN, a little bit of Fox News, or a little bit of whatever, that there was no hope in man, okay? And most people were like, wow, we may have to pray. We may have to seek. We can't go to church. We can't be told by our pastor what to do. We have to seek his face. And some people still kind of cheated and said, come on, church people, we got to have some on TV, on YouTube, something, because I can't go to God by myself. Mm-hmm. But God set it up, you know, to where you had a greater opportunity to actually seek God for yourself and for your family, right? And then for those who just refused, many pastors said, hey, this is the first Passover ever like this. I think y'all need to get serious. This is a global Passover, which I believe produced a global Pentecost. For God so loved the world, this is the first world outreach from heaven. Listen, world outreach. You talk about an evangelism plan laid out from the beginning of time. And any of you that have been a part of any crusades, you go months in advance to that city, right? You set up prayer. You know, God, from the before time began, said, okay, I'm going to do a thing. Okay, I got Jesus in my hip pocket here. Before Jesus, I got to lay this Pentecost thing out there. Yeah, that'll get them ready. I got to do this. I got to do a Passover thing. Yeah, set that up. Then the second thing of the Passover thing is I got to do a fire thing. Okay, got it. I got to get them ready. Passover. Okay, get them ready for the Lamb. Jesus, my son. Get your all set up. How strategic is our God, right? He released a 2020 global Passover to set us up to get ready for a global outpouring of His Spirit. That's what happened last week. And everyone's like, what? I didn't know that was that. That's okay. That it was that. Okay. Well, I think I missed it. No, you didn't miss it, because right now you're going, you can open yourself up to receive right now. You mean I didn't miss it? Nope. Because see, the guys and girls, or ladies, men and women, that were in the upper room, the 120, there were some guys that went to McDonald's and missed out. It's true. Well, it was not called McDonald's, it's Maccabees and wasn't quite burger bread, but it was a kosher meal. They were out. They missed the falling. What the Lord did this past week, He hit everybody. Now, some of you have yet to respond to what the Father poured out because of you're being silly. But let me say this. All three Pentecost were, what's the word here? Were catalysts or catalytic converters, set the glory in motion. As I was quoting Chuck Pierce, Apostle Chuck Pierce, Apostle Prophet Chuck Pierce, the glory shift has begun. It started with heaven touching all of earth, way better than any evangelist program, okay? And there's been some great ones out there, yeah? But this one touched the planet, which means there's an open door for everyone to come into the kingdom, into the glory. That's why this is a big one, okay? This is the third one, Gimel, the lift up. Global Passover produced a global Pentecost. If Acts 2 gave birth to the church, come on, if Acts chapter 2 birthed the church, then Passover 2020 is the second birth. What are you talking about? What did Jesus say? You must be born again. You must be born from above. I believe this third Pentecost was a time of the body of Christ being born again, okay, as the body being born again, okay? Listen to John 3. Jesus is talking to the guy. I assure you and most solemnly tell you, unless a person is born again, born from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, or experience the kingdom of God. We have come into a kingdom age. How can the church, with all its silliness, including me, we couldn't figure out how to actually come to the kingdom. So God says, well, I got to do this myself. I'm going to come down out of heaven, grab my body. Matter of fact, I'm going to pour it on the whole world to allow them to experience the kingdom of God. Instead of talking about it, I'm going to give them the experience. It has started. The excuses have been wiped away by the Spirit of God. False thinking, whatever, it's all been. And He says, okay, everyone has access to the kingdom. Come on. Now, will everyone respond to the kingdom? I don't know. But the plan is in place, right? Sons, this global Passover position, the new man in Christ, put us in place to be able to enter into the kingdom. We've been lifted to another level of glory. This glory level has an easy bridge into the kingdom. Okay. If you were living out of the first Pentecost, you could kind of maybe see the kingdom. If you were living out of the second Pentecost, filled with the Spirit, you're like, I can almost reach it. And God goes, let me help you out. Let me lift you up. Let me gemel you. Okay, now it's up to you, empowered by my breath. Walk on, be a son, enter in, and get equipped. It ain't over. Well, you said, no, it's just starting. But God has started stuff way back, and he's catching us up, right? We couldn't get there in our own strength, in our own gifting, in our own mantles, our own, what stuff we do? Cleansing our DNA. Okay. Dealing with our altars, dealing with our idols. We got to do that stuff, but God's going like, let me give you a benefit of my presence. Let me show you my goodness. What did Moses ask for? I want to see your glory. I know what you need. You need my goodness. You need me to outpour my spirit because you need my glory, but you can't get the glory directly. I've got to help you get there, right? 1 Corinthians 2:7, again, this is the glorification, but rather, what we are saying, what we're talking about now is the wisdom God manifested. He manifested his wisdom through this three-step glorification, through his appointed days called Pentecost. He set things in motion, making it possible for all of us to come into the fullness that we're designed to walk in. Okay. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 2:7 again. But rather, what we're setting forth is wisdom of God once hidden, but he's revealed it. It was hidden from human understanding. Why? Because I think sometimes when we get an idea in our head, we try to do something that either ahead of God's timing or we're not ready yet, and we kind of mess things up. But it was hidden. And now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. You know, I thought sanctification was a tough word. This is a glorification, right? Bringing you to the glory, not by works, but by his presence, by his fire, okay? His glorification, again, means to lift us into the glory of his presence, bringing us back to our design, pre-designed environment. You're fashioned and fit to live and breathe and live and have your being in him, which is the glory. Yeah. That's why his name is King of Glory. Romans 8:18-19. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, the first Pentecost, second Pentecost, all the ones in between, all that stuff, are not worth being compared with the glory that's about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. This is a wild scripture. So if you're looking back on your life and going, I wish I had a better teacher, I wish I had a better church, I wish my father had abused me, I wish my mother had abused me, I wish I had not married that person, I wish. Well, stop looking back, okay, and look forward. Yes, we've all suffered, and I'm not the best in the compassion thing. I'm getting better, but we got to come out of the pit. And the Father has reached out of heaven and says, okay, this is the day. You're designed for the glory. The glory is supposed to be, it's going to be revealed to you. That was what happened Exodus 1, the first great Pentecost. He revealed the glory. And they're like, wow, that's us? Then he came upon them in the second great Pentecost. Those flames of fire, and they had power. And people got to understand, okay, that's who we are. And God, in this last Pentecost, this past what he just came out of, is revealing even more of who he is. And as he reveals who he is to you, then he's showing you who you are. Your real life is hidden in his life. Okay. This last Pentecost, he did a greater revelation of who he is to all mankind, to the globe, to the whole world. Okay. This Pentecost was a global Pentecost for all mankind. Just not to the Jews, just not to the Christians, not just to believers, not just to all those sometimes we get a claim. I've got this, you know. It's breaking out the box, right? The question, or are you playing with your hands? Okay, stretching. So if you were here live, you could ask questions or stretch. Romans 8. Oh, just right there. Verse 19. Listen to this. So we got to... Sometimes we only read verse 19, not verse 18. For even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be known. All creation is waiting to you to manifest. As you respond and receive what the Lord's been pouring out, what he poured out in Exodus, what he poured out in Jerusalem, what he poured out on the globe last week, as you're responding to the outpourings, you will be an outpouring. As you respond to his outpourings, you will be an outpouring. Your cup will overflow, and you will manifest to all creation who you really, really are. Okay? That's the way it works. This is where we are. Isaiah 60, verse 2 and 3. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Whoa. Dense darkness, all peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. Now here's the fun part. This is the evangelism we're about to step into. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You are rising. How are you rising? Because he's lifting you up. You're not rising up in your own strength. He's lifting you up. He's putting you in place. He's putting you on center stage. Not because of you, because of who he is. Who he is in front of you, who he is behind you, who he is inside of you. Okay? We're about to realize how this works. We're about to be in a full agreement with the King of Glory. Which means we're going to unleash it all, right? Now is the time. This is the time we're living in. Habakkuk 2:14. But the time has come. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. It has started. So with that, we just got to rise and shine. It's a scientific fact. It's only got realized because we have technology that we have, I don't know who does these counts, we have between 70 and 100 trillion cells. Okay. So it was a math model someone created to do that because you can't go 1, 2, 3, right? So with that fact, some other scientists realized that each of those cells has the capacity to store, I believe it's 2.92 gigabytes. Now, all those who have computers, we have little flash drives, and you need your computer to have a certain amount of memory. And over the last, you know, decades, personal computers, I remember having to go to my office to play a game. So in the mid-80s was when memory became important so that computers could function, right? Matter of fact, like the computers you have on your smartphone is stronger, has more memory than the computer that took the first astronaut in space. That's wild, you know, yay technology. But anyway, back to memory. So someone calculated that your cell has the capacity to store information, has the capacity to store 2.92 gigabytes of information. And it's just there, wide open, you know. And I was pondering, I know why I was on that fact, but I was pondering that, and the Lord goes, do you know why you have so much space available in you? And I was like, nope. And he says, do you know why that in this day and age of 2020, you now have the understanding because of science and education that knowledge is important and you need enough space to hold knowledge? Because we all got computers or cell phones and stuff. And every 3 months, the ability for mankind to create things to hold more data is increasing. Exponential. Anyway, so I'm going like, okay, God, that's cool. I mean, I'm a techie nerd, so that was neat. God's smart in all realms. Here's the deal. He says, you are designed to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So if you've got 70, we'll go be conservative. If you've got 70 trillion cells and 70 trillion times 2.92 gigabytes, you're designed to hold a lot of glory. But once you get filled with the glory, those around you will be responding to the overflow. So you are now being filled up. I don't feel it. Well, he has promised to pour it out, and he's promised to pour it in you. Trust his promise, and you will be a man and a woman of promise. Trust his promise. Let him work. It'll take you from one level of glory to the next level of glory to the next level of glory. You're in the glorification process right now. And a big catalyst, a big trigger that hit the planet was Pentecost 2020 or Shavuot 5780. You start learning of the calendar. That's the Hebrew calendar. We're in the Hebrew year 5780. So on 4 Sivan, or was it 5? Sivan is the Hebrew month. On 4 Sivan that evening, and 5 Sivan that day, and 6 Sivan that day was the time period of the great, I believe, the greatest outpouring. Now, can God do another one? Yeah. But he likes 3, and I like 3, Gimel. So the process of lifting you up. How far can he take you back? No, don't stop at Adam. Back to where you're free in him, to where you're not going to look around for any other source of life or everything. You're not going to be distracted because you're going to be living the glory. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess just trusting God and his plan, his wisdom, is taking this long to get us in position, right? But he's accelerating all things. This is that day. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for enduring, and thank you for receiving the glory, because there's also it's not an impartation of glory, but the ability to believe that you can receive all that's been poured out. Okay. That's true. Okay. All right. So I close out for anyone who's watching on Facebook. If you got some questions, we can deal with that right now. Those who are here live, if you got questions, we can deal with that now. Those that are on Zoom, if you got any questions or comments, we can hit those. If not, we're going to shut her down so that the recording is short enough for people to engage for their hour and not feel, because it's going to hit your head like something, but you need to press in and listen to the replay again, because you need to be the believer that's going to respond to the promise. Oh, Jeanette, you just joined. So ask the question real quick. Or again, so it'll be on the Facebook Live as a recording. Yay. And I'm going to try to get this out quicker than usual onto my podcast. And if we're really good, we're going to try to get it onto the video. I don't like the video because you see my shining face. All right. Well, we got nothing. I'm good. Recording is on. And those who missed it, enjoy the replay.